from Universally Recommended Instructions for Zazen by Ehe Dogen. The way is originally perfect and all-pervading. How could it be contingent on practice and realization? So most of us know Dogen, such a prominent and important figure in our tradition, the Soto tradition. Dogen is often spoken of as the founder of the Soto tradition. That's within Japan. But Dogen actually brought it back from China, which is interesting given other things that he writes in this piece that I'll talk about in a moment. He was unsatisfied with the teachings that he encountered in Japan as a younger person. He wondered very deeply if everything is of the Buddha nature, why do we have to practice? And this question drove him to seek teachers who he felt could answer the question, and he found nobody. And so he got in a ship and sailed across the sea and sought teachers in China and traveled from one to another to another. Now, who can say how all of that practice helped him mature? But undoubtedly it did. And eventually he overheard a teacher whom he grew fond of say the phrase, body and mind fall away, and experienced what he described as enlightenment, and went to check his realization with his teacher. A while later, he got back in a ship, sailed back to China, excuse me, to Japan, and established a place of practice, very devoted, sincere practice. Eventually that place of practice was burned down, and there are different stories about how this happened, but one possibility is that there was competition among other sanghas. Can you imagine? Perhaps we should go burn down someone's practice place so that more people will come here. I don't get it, but anyway. So he went and founded another spot, and that place is around to this day. And the teachings, his teachings, he wrote prolifically. And this is one of the clearest writings that he has. So much of his writing seems to turn over and over in your mind, even within a single sentence. Dancing, we might say, between emptiness and form with such nimble grace that it's can sometimes feel hard to follow. Because we're constructing entire views out of phrases, we might say. It's very powerful writing. So when he says the way is originally perfect and all-pervading, this is that very teaching that and it made him go seeking the Dharma. He wondered, how could it depend on practice? How could it be contingent on practice and realization? And yet, he goes on, if there's a hair's breadth deviation, it is like the gap between heaven and earth. If a trace of disagreement arises, the mind is lost in confusion. So everything is it, and yet we suffer. We are dragged around by our mental formations, lost in confusion. We can even be confused about being incredibly enlightened. Suppose you are confident in your understanding. You are playing in the entrance way, but you still are short of the vital path of emancipation. Then he goes on to encourage wholehearted practice. Consider the Buddha. Although he was wise at birth, still he practiced with great devotion, practicing asceticism for many, many years, finally renouncing the path of utter renunciation, choosing the middle way, but sitting with great devotion, and then he cites Bodhidharma as well. Although he had received the mind seal, his 9 years of facing a wall is celebrated still. This person whose realization had been confirmed still came and sat devotedly staring at a wall for 9 years, and then eventually people sought him out, according to the stories, sought his teaching, and the transmission continues. So who are we to dispense with wholehearted practice, imagining that we've, oh, everything's it, so I don't need to practice. So he's kind of naming that as just an intellectual understanding. Put aside the intellectual practice of investigating words and chasing phrases, and learn to take the backward step that turns the light and shines it inward. This has been such, this phrase, turn the light around and shine it within, has been really resonating with me for the last, year or so. It strikes me as such a powerful teaching. How quickly we take our thought formations and imagine them to be reality. Notions of, situations, people, we then very quickly believe what the mind tells us. Perhaps we have thought formations about ourselves. These are often the most painful. Pride and shame, two sides of a coin that rear their faces over and over, as the coin flips over and over. I can feel like a rather painful . We can also create notions about the Dharma, about enlightenment, about emptiness, about form. And imagine that that's how we understand it, is through those mental formations, through those ideas that we have about what reality is and about what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to practice and all that kind of stuff. And through these mental formations, we end up shining the light outward. We end up seeking to become something that we're not, creating an idea of what we should be and trying to march toward it. And of course, we've spent our whole lives doing that in one way or another, probably. Chasing good grades back in fourth grade, trying to win that trophy in ninth grade or be the star of the play. Not bad things necessarily, right? But it's the chasing, right? We're so conditioned to imagine that when we attain something in the future, we will be happy. And we overlook what's here, what's present. So how about turning the light and shining it within to just see what's here now? Sometimes that means recognizing our own delusions. It means just seeing our own mental formations as they are. But he also writes, if you want to attain suchness, practice suchness immediately. What is this suchness? Sometimes described as things as they are. The emptiness of form. The aliveness. Simply what is. And then he goes into a bit more deeply into what that means. Put aside all involvements and suspend all affairs. Do not think good or bad. Do not judge true or false. Give up the operations of the mind, intellect, and consciousness. Stop measuring with thoughts, ideas, and views. Wow, that's a lot of instruction for Dogen. That is unlike him, really. Have no designs on becoming a Buddha. Imagining becoming a Buddha through practice. Just give that up. On becoming enlightened, becoming anything other than what you are. If you're feeling disappointed, good. That's okay. That's a good sign, maybe. Stopping looking to be something other than what you are. And it gives you the opportunity, all of us, the opportunity to realize what we already are. And then he goes on into these beautiful phrases. Think not thinking. Not thinking. What kind of thinking is that? Beyond thinking. Reminds us of a chant we talked about just this weekend. With thought that is no thought, singing and dancing are the voice of the law. What is this thought that is no thought? Think not thinking. What? With thought that is no thought. This is the suchness of thought itself. So Dogen is not saying that we are supposed to cut off all thinking. Sometimes people imagine that this means that we will simply stop thinking. But that would be of no benefit, really. We need to be able to think. Dogen is writing words and letters, after all. So he's using, you know, paradox here. Think not thinking. Thinking itself has no fixed essence. There are these thoughts that enter the mind, and some of them are very sticky and repetitive, and they can create notions and feelings that can linger. They leave an imprint. But they also, everything, even those imprints, everything goes its own way. Everything changes. Everything releases. Now, sometimes we keep investing in thought formations. We keep recreating them over and over again. Maybe we're hoping that we can resolve them by thinking more. But Dogen's offering this possibility that the thoughts themselves are without any fixed essence. So we actually don't need to do anything. We just observe them and they come and go. Not thinking, what kind of thinking is that? Beyond thinking. Now, one way of hearing this too is that we aren't only thoughts. We are also our bodies, the sensations. There's one reading that says, this sensory world is enlightenment. But be aware that this sensory world in the Buddhist tradition, thoughts are another sense. So this sensory world, which includes thoughts but is not limited to thoughts, is enlightenment. Just what is, what's here? Let's try a little thought experiment, shall we? Try to hold on to a thought right now. Go ahead. How's it going? Have you got it? Where is it? Can't be done. And yet we spend so much time worrying about our thoughts. It's bizarre, isn't it? Beyond thinking, this is the essential art of Zazen. This Zazen is not meditation practice, it is simply the Dharma gate of joyful ease. The practice realization of totally culminated enlightenment. It is the koan realized. Traps and snares can never reach it. If you grasp the point, you are like a dragon gaining the water, like a tiger taking to the mountains. For you must know that the true Dharma appears of itself. You don't need to make it happen. None of us do. It's already here unfolding. What a profound statement of faith. This is already it, and all the talking that we do about it is to just bring us home.